Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Time of Before we start, we covered quite a bit on Friday. I want to review briefly. The subject on Friday's class was the Pandavas, remember? So, in that episode, Krishna freed the kings, he killed Jarasandha, he then went with Yudhisthira to celebrate the Rajasuya sacrifice, and he killed Shishupal, yes. Shishupal, who was criticizing Krishna. We didn't discuss that Leela, but does anyone remember the history of Shishupal? Why he was criticizing Krishna? Of course, he was a demon. Jai, right. But when he was born, Shishupal had four hands and three eyes and 12, he had some birth defects. And he was told, his mother was told, that his extra eye and arms would disappear when he was held in the lap of the one who would kill him. So this very strange piece of information prompted her to put her child in everyone's lap. And when her relative Krishna came to visit, and she put the child in his lap, immediately the eye disappeared and the arms disappeared. And so this had been her plan. So she said, "Please don't kill my son, even if he offends you." And Krishna said, "Don't worry, I will tolerate 100 offenses from your son," thinking that would be adequate. So in the assembly, Shishupal began criticizing Krishna one after the next, and everyone was getting so upset because Sahadev had nominated Krishna to be the first guest worship. But then Shishupal started criticizing him. And the Pandavas were ready to kill him. Some sages got up and walked out because they wouldn't hear blasphemy. And meanwhile, Krishna's counting 78, 79, 80. So finally when he got to 101, that was it. Then he very neatly removed his head. So anyway, then he was just trying really to disturb the ceremony. This is what the antagonists would sometimes do. Because if they could create a fight, it would distract the priests and the whole yajna would be derailed. And then the results would not come to the performance. So this is the reason behind Shishupal's tantrum. But Krishna did not allow that to happen out of his affection for Yudhisthira, not out of his malice towards Shishupal. So then the sacrifice was completed, etc. So, but at the end, Duryodhana was dissatisfied. Everyone was happy, but Duryodhana, and then Vishnurata Parikshit Maharaj asked, why was he unhappy? And then Sukadeva explained how he was humiliated by, what did he do? Yes, Yudhisthira's palace was built by Maya Dhanava, the expert in illusions. So he made this pool of water appear to be a floor. And everybody knew it except Duryodhana. So he came walking in and fell right in the water. And all the ladies laughed. And everyone laughed, Bhima especially. And without saying a word, Duryodhana, who was very proud, got up and marched out of the palace. So Yudhisthira saw this, and being soft-hearted and also diplomatic, he was thinking, oh, this is very bad. But Krishna saw and he said, okay, now this is another way the burden will be lifted from the earth. So remember, Duryodhana had given reluctantly half of the kingdom to the Pandavas, the worst half, the desert, and they turned it into this beautiful, beautiful capital, Indraprastha. So Duryodhana was very upset and subsequently made more plans to destroy the Pandavas. And managed to get their whole kingdom and send them into exile. Okay, so any last discussion on that subject? So we'll start with Sudama. Chapter 26, Sudama. A humble wife speaks thus. Said Vishvaratna, Master, please continue telling me the heroic pastimes of the greatest personality. Could anyone who knows life essence set aside such themes to gratify the senses in a futile, phony dream? True words describing God are, for true ears, the greatest wealth. True hands work just for Him. True minds consider nothing else. True eyes see only Krishna, and true heads bow to His feet. True limbs regard the water that has bathed Him as most sweet. Delighted, Sukadev said this, When Krishna was in school, he had a friend, Sudama, who became a perfect jewel. This learned, self-controlled young priest enjoyed a simple life, although he lived so plainly he could not maintain his wife. The chaste wife of this underprivileged Brahmin felt distressed because she could not feed him, so she made this meek request. Lord Krishna is so kind and rich. My dear, don't you enjoy a friendship with him dating back to when you were both boys? Lord Krishna loves the Brahmins, and I'm sure he'll gladly give some charity to you, his childhood friend, so you can live. He rules a lavish kingdom. Surely Krishna shares his wealth. If someone loves him, so I've heard, he'll even give himself. Sudama thought, My wife keeps asking, and the time is right. The visit empty-handed, though, would be so impolite. And so he said, My dear, I'll see my friend just as you've asked me to. However, I have nothing to bring Krishna, dear, to you. Sudama's wife went begging, filled her palms four times with rice, enclosed it in a clean, torn cloth, and tied it once or twice. This very modest gift in hand, Sudama started out. He thought, Will Krishna's soldiers let me in? I have my doubts. A joyous reception. In Dwaraka, Sudama joined some local learned priests and walked unchallenged past the homes of Krishna's devotees. Approaching Krishna's palace, one he shared with Rukmini, Sudama felt he traded his distress for ecstasy. Lord Krishna sat upon Rukmini's bed when he observed Sudama near the palace. Then, without a single word, he went out to embrace his dear old friend, so pure and wise. As ecstasy shot through him, teardrops filled Lord Krishna's eyes. Lord Krishna brought Sudama in and sat him on the bed. He washed the Brahmin's feet and sprinkled foot wash on his head. The Lord worshipped Sudama with a lamp made bright with ghee, along with incense, sandal paste, and all accessories. As Krishna offered gifts and pleasant words, Queen Rukmini began to fan the honored guest as etiquette decrees. Sudama looked so gaunt and wore such ragged, shabby dress, the residents throughout the palace all began to guess. What pious acts has this unkempt, impoverished Brahmin done? Though others would consider him a beggar to be shunned, the guru of the universe, abandoning his wife, embraces and reveres him like he's known him all his life. While holding one another's hands, Sudama and the Lord discussed their days at Sandipani schoolhouse years before. The Lord observed, You're moral and you lead a godly life. Since you are not in saffron dress, then you must have a wife. Though you're involved in household duties, you remain aloof from sense desire and money-making. Most folks spend their youth pursuing such enjoyments, but your values have stayed high. You taught the common people by example, as have I. Our school days were devoted, you recall, to the pursuit of learning from our guru, higher spiritual truth. As a father is a guru, and a priest is one as well, but one who gives transcendence is as good as God himself. Such gurus represent me. They say only what I say. By following such gurus, one can vanquish all dismay. To simply serve a valid guru pleases me much more than all the rites and penances the Brahmins so adore. You recall the day when we were living at our school, and Sandipani Muni's wife sent us to gather fuel. As we walked in the forest to find firewood, there arose an out-of-season thunderstorm that drenched us head to toe. The forest was so flooded that we couldn't even tell the high ground from the low ground. Then the sun went down as well. Unable to determine whether home was left or right, we wandered through incessant wind and rain throughout that night. Our guru understood our plight and went out with the dawn. He searched the woods until, at last, he found where we had gone. Compassionate at our distress, he said, "My dearest sons, the body is most dear to every soul. Look what you've done. For my sake, you have undergone such suffering and stress. A true disciple does what you have done and nothing less. You boys are first-class Brahmins. May you both be fully blessed. May all the Vedic mantras you have learned stay ever fresh." Lord Krishna went on reminiscing in this joyous way. "We had such great adventures through our Gurukula days. A soul who takes a guru and then somehow makes him pleased fulfills the goal of human life and gains eternal peace." Sudama said, "O Lord, what goal could I have not achieved when I lived in the ashram of our guru and received the fortune of your company? Your form is truth itself. You demonstrate a righteous life by living it yourself." Hidden treasure. Conversing with his childhood friend, Lord Krishna was quite pleased, for he adores the Brahmins chiefly when they're devotees. He also understood Sudama hid within his clothes a bundle of some rice that he was too ashamed to show. The Lord inquired, "Have you brought a gift from home for me? I greatly value any gift from saintly devotees. A cup of water makes me smile, though I could drink an ocean. A fruit or flower pleases me when offered in devotion." Despite this clear encouragement, Sudama was ashamed to give his gift to Krishna in this opulent domain. But Krishna knew Sudama's pure affection had no price, so he reached in Sudama's cape and snatched the hidden rice. The Lord exclaimed, "My friend, what are you hiding? It's a gift. This rice will please not only me, but all souls that exist. When one has pleased Lord Krishna, all creation can advance, as watering the root will nourish every leaf and branch." Lord Krishna ate a palmful of the rice and reached for more, but Queen Rukmini stopped his hand and quietly implored, "How will I share this treasure if you eat it all yourself? Besides, you're pleased already, which assures Sudama's wealth." Homecoming. Sudama then took food and drink and rested for the night, convinced that he had left this mortal world from sheer delight. The next day, with much honor from his friend, he left for home, too bashful to have even asked for something of his own. Sudama thought, "Lord Krishna loves the Brahmins, that is clear. He held me to his chest, although my sins are quite severe. I am the poorest beggar, while my friend is God himself, replete with strength, detachment, wisdom, beauty, fame, and wealth. He loved me like a brother. There I was upon his bed, while Krishna bathed my feet and Queen Rukmini fanned my head. Though Krishna is the person all the gods and Brahmins praise, as if I were a god, he worshipped me in many ways. In heaven, hell, this planet, or in liberated states, the worship of Lord Krishna opens wide perfection's gates. Perceiving that if I were rich, I might grow proud and fall, Lord Krishna kindly didn't give me anything at all." Sudama reached his home site, but he could not understand how several soaring palaces now filled his patch of land. Complete with gardens, courtyards, ponds, and with flocks of cooing birds, and well-dressed male and female servants waiting for his word. The palace servants welcomed him with musical reception. On learning he was back, his wife, ecstatic from affection, came dashing from the palace dressed like Goddess Shri herself, emerging from a domicile of unimagined wealth. Sudama's chaste and loyal wife, her tears about to start, bowed low before her husband and embraced him in her heart. Although he looked just the same, and she at once saw it was him, he barely recognized his wife, adorned with precious gems. They walked in awe midst diamond-studded pillars in their home, which boasted ivory bedsteads, golden couches, chairs, and thrones. The crystal walls had jeweled lamps and pearls strung overhead. Sudama calmly saw all this, and to himself he said, "A person of my destitute circumstance could only grow wealthy by Lord Krishna's glance. Since I didn't ask, he kept this from my sight, as clouds gently water the fields overnight. The Lord magnifies what his devotees bring, and thinks of his blessings as trivial things. Though I only brought him a handful of rice, he transformed my hut to a god's paradise. The Lord doesn't make all his servants this rich. If one is a novice, he could grow bewitched. So Krishna is cautious when giving rewards. I'll never forsake my compassionate Lord." Sudama, fixed in wisdom, kept his vows and didn't fall. He never let his opulence bewilder him at all. Such saintly, gentle Brahmins are the Lord's own deities. What person could be higher than such perfect devotees? Though no one else can conquer him, Lord Krishna's servants do. Observing this, Sudama's heart was thoroughly subdued. He soon attained the Lord's domain and bid this world farewell. If you can grasp Lord Krishna's kindness, you'll go there as well. Sona?
Please accept my humble obeisance and please give me your blessing so I can speak a little bit about Krishna consciousness. My topic is Sudama Lila. I have read Krishna book, Bhagavatam and Prabhuji's poetry book. I like some points which I would like to share with you. My first point is Sudama's wife, about her character. Sometimes Sudama's wife is quoted as a greedy or cunning lady who wanted to live her life opulently. But after reading Krishna book or Bhagavatam, I came to know about her real character. Bhagavatam also describes some points of Sudama's wife, like poorly dressed, emaciated from hunger, suffering along with her husband and chaste lady. Now we can say that she was also suffering along with her husband, but she wanted to always serve her husband. Serve her husband, and in any condition, it doesn't matter what they have or not. Prabhupada also commented that when she was approaching to her husband, she was very much fearful and trembling because she didn't want to dictate her husband. And she also knows that her husband was a great devotee of Lord, and he do not want to go and beg for wealth. Now we can conclude that she was a very chaste and faithful lady. And after that, Sudama's wife, I would like to focus on Sudama's character, about his quality. Bhagavatam describes about some qualities of Sudama, like he learned in Vedic knowledge, detached from sense object, sense subdued, and a peaceful mind, accepted whatever come according to his karma, destiny. From this thing we can understand Sudama is very learner and knowledgeable in Vedas, and he was very much self-satisfied person. But now my question is that if he was self-satisfied, then why did he go to meet Krishna? Is for wealth and what reason? Then for that I would like to read from Krishna book. In this way the life of Ramana, wife of Ramana, again and again requested in great humility and submission that he go to Lord Krishna. The Brahmana thought that there was no need to ask any material benefit from Lord Krishna. But he was induced by the requests of his wife. Moreover, he thought, if I go there, I shall be able to see the Lord personally. That will be a great opportunity, even if I don't ask any material benefit from him. After reading this paragraph, we can understand that her wife requested him again and again. Then he thought, oh, let's go and meet Krishna, because he wanted to take personal darshan of Krishna, not for wealth. From this point, we can understand he was self-satisfied devotee of Lord Krishna. And, my next point is Sudama. Sudama love for Krishna. Before that, I would like to focus on some point. Like when Sudama reached Dwarka, he enters in Rukmani's palace, which didn't mention in Bhagavatam also. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes from Padma Purana, he enters in Rukmani's palace, and Prabhupada also commented in Krishna book. Now, my next point is Sudama's love for Krishna. For that, I would like to read from Krishna book. When he had decided to go to Krishna, he asked his wife if she had anything in the home that he could offer to Krishna, because he must take some presentation for his friend. The wife immediately collected 4 palm of chip rice from her neighborhood friends and tied it in a small cloth like a handkerchief and gave it to her husband to present to Krishna. Without waiting any longer, the Brahmana took the presentation and proceeded toward Dwarka to see his Lord. He was absorbed in the thought of how he would be able to see the Lord, how he would be able to see Lord Krishna. He had no thought within his heart that other than Krishna. After reading this paragraph, we can understand that Sudama was so poor, he doesn't have anything to eat, nothing to wear. Still, he wanted to take some gift for Krishna. But he can give any excuse to Krishna, like, "Oh Krishna, I'm so poor, I don't have anything for you." But instead of this, he shows his real love for Krishna. Her wife begged for begged and collected 4 palm fruit chip rice. Then Sudama proceeded towards Dwarka. I can take my example also. Whenever I go to temple, I never think to take any offering to Krishna. But I think we should do this, because these offerings we can reciprocate or show our love to Krishna. Now, my next point is how Krishna welcomes Sudama. As soon as Krishna saw Sudama, he embraced him. And he worshipped him in a very elaborate manner. Like, first he washed his feet and his physical water on his head. Then he offered water to drink and to wash his face. Then he offered sweets to eat. And he offered aarti by lamp and incense. He also offered chandan and different kind of fragrance to smell. And he also offered cow as a charity. Then Krishna spoke sweet words to Sudama. From this we can understand that this is a how to welcome a guest. But in Kali Yuga, we may not be able to do all these things because we don't have a time or resources. So, but we can do one thing. We can offer sweet words and water. At least we should do all this. At least we should do this. And Krishna satisfied Sudama's all senses by offering all these things. Then from this, then Krishna makes him comfortable and he offered his own bed to sit. From this we can see quality of Krishna. He has so much love and humility for his devotee. And whatever Krishna shows in front of Sudama, that is that quality is only possible by Krishna himself, who is Lord and source of all good qualities. After satisfying all the senses of Sudama, then Krishna asked about Sudama's family, whether he has compatible wife or not. From this statement, we can understand that every civilized human being should accept ashram, like brahmachari, grastha, vanprastha, and sannyasi, and execute their duty according to their ashram. And now my next point is, my next point is Sudama's gift for Krishna. Sudama's gift for Krishna. For that, first I would like to read from Krishna book. He continued, "My dear friend, you must have brought some presentation for me from your home." Lord Krishna knew that Sudama was hesitating to present him with maltreated rice, which were actually unfit for his eating. Understanding the mind of Sudama Vipra, the Lord said, "My dear friend, I am certainly not in need of anything. But if my devotee give me something as an offering of love, even though it may be very insignificant, I accept it with great pleasure. On the other hand, if a person is not a devotee, even though he may offer me very valuable things, I don't like to accept them. I actually accept only things offered to me in devotion and love. Otherwise, however valuable a thing may be, I do not accept it. If my pure devotee offers me even the most insignificant things, a little flower, a little piece of leaf, a little water, but saturates the offering in devotional service, devotional love, then not only do I gladly accept such an offering, but I eat it with great pleasure." From this we can understand that the qualities of Krishna. After this, satisfying all the senses of Sudama, Krishna asks to Sudama, "O friend, what gift you brought for me from your home?" But seeing Krishna opulent, Sudama is feeling very shy. He don't want to show. But Krishna understood this thing, and he said to Sudama that a small offering of his devotee pleases him very much, but a great offering by non-devotee do not please him. And to make him comfortable, he also said same verses which he spoke in Bhagavad Gita. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakti aprayashti tat aham bhakti upayatam asnami prayat atmanaha. If one offer a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water with devotion or love, I will accept that. Even after hearing these sweet words from Krishna, Sudama was not encouraged and he was feeling shy. Then Krishna forcefully took that gift from Sudama. And meanwhile, then Krishna started thinking, he's such a great devotee. I know everything, even I don't know how is it possible that such a great devotee of mine is still remain poor. Then Krishna realized. Then Krishna thought again. He wants to remain poor. He was attached to remain a poor because he wants to serve Krishna in any situation, whether he is poor or rich. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also says that there are two kinds of renounced devotees. One is inimical to sense gratification and one is indifferent to sense gratification. Krishna can give wealth to indifferent devotees, but he don't want to interfere in the free will of inimical devotees because he want to remain poor. But then Krishna thought, now he has come to for back wealth because of his wife request. Then I will give him everything. I can give him all the wealth more than Indra. Then after that, Krishna ate that one palmful of rice and he enjoyed it a lot. Then he again took another palmful of rice, but Rukmani Devi stopped him, and she ate that rice and she distributed among all his co-wives and maidservants. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also commented on Rukmani Devi that why Rukmani Devi stopped Krishna to eat that another palmful of rice. Is anyone know? Yeah. When she has to serve, then yeah, for Sudama personally. there are two reasons. One is reason that Rukmani was thinking, Krishna is so sensitive and so soft, it might make her stomach, makes his stomach upset. That's why she stopped him. And another reason is by eating one palmful of rice, Krishna was so satisfied, he gave all the wealth to Sudama. But if he eats more than one palm of rice, then Lakshmi has to surrender. Sudama fully for his service. That's why she stopped. Sorry, Prabhu. Lakshmi has to surrender fully for the service of Sudama.
If Krishna
will eat that second palm of rice also.
She has to leave Krishna.
That's why she stopped, saying that this is enough opulence you given him. And Prabhupada also commented that if anyone can serve Narayana or serve food to Narayana, then Lakshmi automatically becomes guest in our house or in that person's house. But usually people want to serve like Ganesha and Lakshmi, and so they can get money. But from this statement we can understand, if we serve Narayana, then we are automatically serving Lakshmi also. And after spending one night in Krishna Palace, next day Sudama left for his house. And now Sudama was thinking, I came here for wealth on the request of my chaste wife, but I didn't ask anything, and Krishna also didn't give me anything, any wealth. But he was not feeling sad. He was happy, because he thought that Krishna want to protect him, because he thought that Krishna protecting me by not giving wealth. Because if I might forget him by getting wealth, that's why he was feeling happy. Oh, it doesn't matter whether I have. But in the other way, he was feeling very much fortunate and grateful, because Krishna embraced him, which he normally does with only Rukmani and Balramji. That's why he was feeling fortunate and grateful to Krishna. On the other hand, Krishna was feeling shy, because Sudama gave him everything, even that which he didn't have. And Krishna was thinking, if I will give him, that is only fraction of his opulence. So he was thinking, I won't be able to reciprocate with Sudama. That's why he decided to give Sudama in indirectly way. And my next last point is about the comment of Jiva Goswami. He commented that Sudama was a great devotee of Lord, but he has a small fault, and that fault is he has a subtle pride of being a renounced Brahmana. But Krishna also removed that pride by showing his affection and sweet behavior. So we can say that how Krishna is merciful, he removed us his pride also. Yeah, that's why now I would like to Nand Kumar Prabhu.
How he was proud of his renunciation.
I think he was feeling pride because he is serving Krishna, being a poor. He doesn't have anything to wear, anything to eat, any opulence. Still he is serving Krishna. That's why he was feeling proud. Oh, I'm serving Krishna in this condition. Attached to being poor. Oh, Krishna shows his behavior, sweetness behavior, and shows his affection towards Sudama.
It's just what I heard, Prabhu, that by giving so much wealth, Krishna smashed his pride of renunciation.
I'll read from Bhagavatam purport that thus, seeing how the unconquerable Supreme Lord is nonetheless conquered by his own servants, the Lord's dear Brahmana friend felt the remaining knots of material attachment within his heart being cut by the force of his constant meditation on the Lord. In a short time, he attained Lord Krishna's supreme abode, destination of supreme saints. So, Lord Krishna attracted him by his sweet, wonderful dealings. And also by giving wealth, but the main thing was that Lord Krishna attracted him to us, that don't be attached to simply remain poor and serve me. Be attracted to my personality more. So that remembrance Lord Krishna gave, and then the rest of his life is simply cut, simply thinking of Krishna, how merciful Krishna is. And he didn't bother about that he is living in a rich palace, he's simply thinking of Krishna. That's how
it is. Other questions for Sona? Comments?
Not like she didn't want to serve Sudama Brahman. Why she was so much worried about that? Lakshmi served.
Rukmini, why did she not want to serve Sudama Brahman?
I think she don't want to leave Krishna. That's why.
You understand this question? If we want to be the servant of the servant, why did Rukmini not want to be the servant of Sudama? Chaitanya, any thoughts on that? Ali? She was fanning him.
I mean, she gave, or Sudama gave Krishna uncooked flat rice. So I thought it was just Rukmini was seeing how Krishna was eating this undigestible food stuff, and thus was merely Krishna, you know, appreciating his sentiment but checking his uncontrolled behavior. But she was fanning him, I mean, what else?
What else?
It's described she did it because she'd have to give him unlimited wealth or something like that. It had something to do with giving him too much wealth. She would have to give him too much. It had something to do with her. She would have to give Sudama too much wealth. That's how it's described. It had something to do with that.
That's what Sona explained. First palm fall, she could tolerate, but she stopped the second palm fall because it was too hard to digest, or else he'd become so obligated that Lakshmi herself, he said, would have to become Sudama's full-time servant. Krishna would become so obligated to Sudama from two palm poles. So Rukmini didn't want that to happen.
Verse 27, we are saying that Lord Krishna ate a palm full of the rice and reached for more, but Queen Rukmini stopped his hand and quietly implored, "How will I share this treasure if you eat it all yourself? Beside, you are pleased already, which assures Sudama's wealth." Maybe she wanted to know what Krishna is enjoying so much. Let me see what's in it.
So it becomes authentic. Queen Rukmini took hold of Krishna's hand to prevent him from eating any more of the flat rice. According to Sripad Sridhar Swami, with this gesture she meant to tell the Lord how much of your grace is, this much of your grace is sufficient to assure anyone vast riches, which are merely the play of my glance. But please do not force me to surrender myself to this Brahmana, as will happen if you eat more than one handful. So she was thinking that.
So there is a free will there that the devotee can express, like how much he wants to surrender to Lord, I guess. And like there is a mood, I guess, which...
This is all spiritual mood, I think.
Yeah, okay.
There is no material concentration in
this. Yeah, okay. Maybe.
I want to talk about the example of rain clouds, that in the previous ages, the citizens were so magnanimous, they were so pious that they would do this yajñas for satisfaction of rains. And the rains will feel that, oh, they have done so much for us, and all we have to offer them is a little little rain. So they were feeling ashamed that they are not able to reciprocate. So they would rain in the night so that it will not disturb them. And in the morning when they will get up, they will see that it has rained enough. So similarly, Krishna is feeling that he has given me so much and I won't be able to reciprocate. So let me do it from behind, that I don't have to feel embarrassed to give him in front, and which is so little. So that's Krishna's humility.
That's a sign of great piety when it rains at night. And then in the day, everything has been watered and the people are not inconvenienced. That was like that during Maharaj Yudhisthira's domain. Okay, very good. Other points? Yes, in Kali Yuga, people prefer rain. Other comments? It's a very deep pastime. Thank you very much, Shona. That was well done. Arrivo. What about this time when Sudama was going back home and he thought, I didn't ask Krishna for anything like my wife wanted me to. I know I would personally be terrified if I was returning home having failed to execute the mission for which I had been dispatched. So, Sudama, what was Sudama thinking at that time?
He was completely satisfied because he had gotten the darshan of the Lord and his embrace. Sudama was thinking that Krishna was, so to speak, not giving him enough rope to hang himself. Oh, if I get all this wealth and, something, I think he was thinking in terms of his spiritual life, that he didn't want the wealth to disturb his devotion and like that. I mean,
Krishna knew I'd get too proud. But in reality, what was he proud of? Renunciation. If he was proud of anything, he was proud of his renunciation. Okay. Is it true that money makes us get proud? How would we know? Anybody? Any? How so? You've dealt with very wealthy people. What is your experience?
They tend to put all of their energy and their material possessions in once they've obtained it, but securing them, because they become fearful of losing everything. So their mind is on those things versus spiritual life. So it's a big distraction.
Your experience is the rich people are equally anxious, more anxious, or less anxious?
More anxious, because they have more things to worry about, more possessions.
There's a beautiful example in the 10th canto. Krishna says that the devotees cannot help but think about him, just like a rich person who has lost all their money cannot help but think about it all the time. If a rich person loses everything, then they really become obsessed. I had it and then I lost it. But devotees, so he compares that unavoidable thought to the devotee's love. Okay, what else? Why is this story so popular in India? Can anyone guess? Because he becomes rich. That's right. Is there some blessing like that? It shows friendship. It shows Krishna's friendship, his affection.
Also say that Krishna worshipped Sudama and he washed his feet and he offered to sit on the same bed. So such personal things are possible only by Supreme Lord, like Lord Shiva, I'm sure Lord Brahma, if some devotee of them would go, they would not ask them, okay, come to my interior quarters and sit with me intimately. So such is possible only by Krishna, who is the ocean of all good qualities. So that's why he is God, that he is ocean of all good qualities. I mean, he is God, of course, but he has these qualities. It's not that we are worshipping because he is God. He is also such a wonderful person that shows his personality. It's so beautiful.
He was not at all affected. You remember this king from the Mahabharata? Drona's father, Drupad. Drupad and Drona were friends when they were in school. And Drona was the son of a Brahmin, and Drupad was a prince. But because they were so close, Drupad said, "When I grow up and get my kingdom, I'll give half of it to you." And so later, Drona was starving in a similar way to Sudama. So he went to see Drupad. "Okay, I need that. I need something." And how did Drupad treat him? "Yeah, I was just a kid. You can't hold me accountable." He wouldn't give him anything. And so Drona got quite angry and avenged himself through the Pandavas. Yeah, verse of course.
I was just going to say, maybe the story is so popular because it shows how merciful Krishna is, how we don't need to ask him for anything. He'll just give us if we're sincere.
He also knows what we want. He knows what we want, so we don't really have to lay out a shopping list. He knows also what we need. And we may not know what we need. We know what we want, but we may not know what we need. Yes, he's very kind like that. Okay, so what else? Any other thoughts or realizations on this chapter?
It kind of seems like he didn't really need all of those riches. Even leaving, he was thinking, "Oh, if I got these, I would be too proud, so it's okay that I didn't ask." But then maybe Krishna wanted to give them not just for his own satisfaction, but for his marriage, because his wife was unhappy. So in doing that, maybe it was like saving his marriage rather than like being like, "Here's all these riches you need." It's like, satisfy your wife.
What do you think? What do you think about that point, Sona? Was it saving Sudama's marriage? Krishna wanted to save Sudama's marriage so that his wife would be happy with him.
She was okay. The wife wasn't saying that I will break the marriage if you don't give me money. She was just prepared humbly.
What was her concern? What was his wife's concern? Remember?
She was concerned about her husband's comfort. Because anyway, she is serving in any situation, and she is really concerned about her husband. Not. Yeah.
What else? Anything else?
Inimical sense gratification and unattached to sense gratification. Like how do they play a role in understanding philosophy?
The difference between being inimical to sense gratification and indifferent to it. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? That was a very good point.
I think indifferent. Whether they have money or not. inimical, those who don't want money to proceed their devotional life. It doesn't matter. No, sorry, it's matter. They want to live poorly or they remain poorly. But for indifferent, whether they have money or not, but yeah, they are performing their duties or devotional service. Yeah, well, inimical. He was inimical. Yeah, he wants to remain poor.
This is a quality of the impersonalist, isn't it? No, money makes me attached, therefore I don't want money. There was a famous yogi who was known for when people or admirers would bring him money, he would say, "No, I cannot touch." And Prabhupada laughed about it, and he said, "If someone brings us money, we will say, 'Wait, let me get my wheelbarrow.'" And then we will spend it all for Krishna, and then we'll come back the next day and ask for more.
I think Krishna's like plans in our life, how do we understand that? Because sometimes we don't know what Krishna plans, but you said he knows what we need, but sometimes we don't know. So can you?
This is really, in one sense, this is the essence of this whole pastime, that Krishna knows what we need and we only know what we want. And he knows what's good for us. Plus he understands our attachments. It can be very hard for us to understand how we're attached to this world. They're so deep and subtle. So the whole science of bhakti is to consciously turn our desire not to any particular set of external circumstances, you know, but just to wanting to please Krishna, whatever you want, unconditionally. So that is something that is within our control. If we can approach Krishna with unconditional surrender and say that honestly, Krishna, whatever you want from me, as long as I can be in the association of devotees and see you and serve you, anything you want, I'm happy with that.
Maybe it's not so much directed to this topic, but in a way, like Krishna gives you what you need, and that you're not what you want. And you know, you see a lot of people in India, they worship like Ganesh because they get money easily. I just wondering, do you guys know why there's not like temples for Brahma? Really, there's no temples for Brahma. Maybe one. So why isn't it temples for Brahma or even Shiva only his linga form? I heard maybe like a curse or something. Do you know?
Brahma was cursed repeatedly. Did it have anything to do with the stealing the cowherd boys?
No. In the last chapter, there's the incident when Bhrigu Muni will go and insult. I'm not sure it's written here or not, but that's one incident that he will be cursed and Shiva will be cursed there also. That will only be worshipped as Linga.
Who curses them?
Bhrigu Muni.
Why does he? Yeah, why will he?
No, Bhrigu Muni. Yeah, so he told, since he got angry, I curse you. And finally, we went to Vishnu, and Bhrigu Muni kicked Vishnu, but he was not offended, so he proved his.
Okay, we will read that Thursday, that pasta. Okay, thank you very much, Sona. Again, well done. The shortest chapter, the longest class. You did very well. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.